What up, folks? We got ads. Sun's out and shades are in. Get your home summer ready with custom window treatments from Blinds.com. Get a high-end without the high-end price with the most popular outdoor shades and transform your backyard into the perfect weekend oasis with light filtering shades that help block UV rays without obstructing your view. Plus, right now, Blinds.com is offering up to 35% off everything, making it a breeze to upgrade any room in your home, indoors or out. With over 25 million blinds sold and 35,000 five-star reviews, there's a reason why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window treatments in the world. Whether you do it yourself or have them handle the install from start to finish, Blinds.com makes ordering custom window treatments online easy. With free shipping and a 100% guaranteed perfect fit. Perfect fit? 100% guaranteed? Can't beat that. Sunshine and barbecues are in the forecast. Upgrade your backyard and window treatments with Blinds.com today and enjoy your new view all summer long. Go to the link in our show notes to shop up to 35% off site-wide. That's the link in our show notes for up to 35% off site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back, goddamn it, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, Guideline of Chasing a Dream. I'm your host, the Maniacal Menace. Kyle Smith, say the whole thing like a pimp lane slick back. And today, goddamn it, today we're back in New Orleans because I always come down here to have fun, have a good time, and get some work on, get some work done. And today I got the homie, Mr. The actor, producer, slash director, always on the set with the chair with his name on it. Michael Hall, how you doing, sir?
Doing good, man. Doing good. It's good to be on, man.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Good to see you, man. You came and respectably, immediately as we saw each other, you was like, I have a sty and it's not pink eye. And that is understandable. It's like, all right, I got the vaccine shot, so I think I'll be all right. I think it saves the lives of everything. I'm not really sure how the vaccine works, but I have it, and I have the card, and it's like, all right, you sick? I got the vaccine. It's okay.
I didn't know what to say. As soon as I got in, I was like, man, it's another brother. He's going to, like, point it out or at least notice it. Let me be honest. Bring this shit up first. Like,
you honestly just look extra sleepy.
One eye is white, and one eye is red. It's like,
I didn't look at you that hard, but I was seeing you from down the way, and I was like, is that Michael? I think that's Mike. The way he's walking, it walks like a guy named Mike. So I'm assuming that is exactly my, and yeah,
people
that was
telling me they know who I am by the way I walked. They're just like, yeah, I knew that was you, Mike, when I was,
yeah,
two
definitely
miles down the road in that thunderstorm.
And you also have this Eddie Murphy soul patch. You got the Eddie Murphy soul patch. That's
I'll shave my whole face, but I'll keep that dang soul patch.
Mm-mm, yeah, gotta keep the soul patch. So how you been, dude? How's the pandemic been treating you since, you know, pandemic's been happening and shit?
Man, I'm working more now. I work on film sets. Mm-hmm. I'm divorced. That's cool.
What?
We still cool. Got a girlfriend now. That's good. Doing comedy. Doing short films. Mm. Feeling good, man. Life's good. My ex is great in the sense that she could have destroyed a nigga financially.
Yeah.
But she did not.
Right.
And now
you being the comic and her being the artist, the other artist, the tattoo artist, yeah, it could have gotten pretty crazy.
It would have gotten crazy. Other than that, blessed with a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody sees you. So what exactly are you doing?
So I am the first team production assistant, which means that I'm on this TV show now where I am the assistant to all the actors. I get them processed through hair, makeup, and costumes while they are on set. And then I get them wired for sound and props.
Oh. Is that something that you've always wanted to do?
Fuck no. I hate this job.
He said, fuck no, I hate this job. How did you get this job?
I was telling comedy at Dragon's Den one day. Forgot the stage. Told a comic friend of ours, old friend of ours, Xander Force.
Yeah. Good old Xander.
I was like, yo, brother, I think I'm going to go back to school for film. And then three or so chairs down, and I remember three because I was like, how did this guy hear us? And this white dude turns around, and he says the funniest thing ever. He says, hey, I know I'm just this, like, random white dude. I don't want to be getting your business, but don't go back to school for film. It's a racket. You'll just lose money. And I was like, man, who the fuck are you? He's like, look, this is my name. This is what I've done. And it turns out he was a camera operator on Jurassic Park.
Oh, shit.
Logan, all these big movies.
Yeah.
Fucking, he's worked on everything out here. And I kept calling him. I called him for like 3 months. He said, keep calling me. He's going to be super busy. But one day I'm going to answer. And he answered. And he got me on a film set.
Come on.
One of the things he said, too, was he took me to the office of the Stevie Show.
The Stevie Show?
Claus.
It was
with Niecy Nash.
Yeah.
And he dropped me off in front. Yeah. He said, when you go into the office, make sure you go to either a woman or a person of color.
Uh-huh.
Don't go to a white guy. And I was like, but you're white. And he was like, yes. And they are all not like me. Don't trust them. Don't trust them. And I didn't. I went straight into this office and it was nothing but women.
Okay.
And they all got me my first job.
Oh, shit.
And I've been working ever since, 4 years.
Oh, that's dope as shit, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Man, so what was your passion growing up then? What did you always want to do as a child?
Growing up, I was always interested in film and TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized after a while that I was into stand-up. I think I was like in my preteens, and I saw Christopher Titus, and I didn't know exactly what that was. I was like, do actors do this in their spare time? I remember I was like 12 or 11.
What?
Like,
come on.
Because I've always seen, like, growing up, I saw Bernie Mac, I saw Chris Tucker, stuff like that. But I guess it was my first time really seeing something outside of, like, Def Jam comics that I just kind of saw at the side that I didn't really pay attention to.
A Def Jam comedy is something different.
Yeah, but then after I saw Christopher Titus, I started listening more to Def Jam. And then I was like, oh, shit, this isn't... Because I thought Chris Tucker, as an actor, did that in his spare time. I thought that was, like, his practice to be an actor.
Chris Titer and Christopher Tucker and Chris...
And Titus, two different people.
Christopher Titus, yeah. Chris Tucker.
Right. Sorry, I'm high now, so I'm rambling, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I remember thinking off of Friday, like, wait, I always see this dude doing what I just saw Christopher Titus do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like... And then I was like,
started putting two and two together?
Yeah, because I never paid attention to stand-up. I never really knew what that was. I would look at the Steve Harvey Show, and I'd be like, wait. Like, I thought he was just mainly an actor.
Yeah.
And I thought Martin Lawrence was just mainly an actor. And I didn't really know. And then, so I really started to, like, look at it. And then when I was 15, my mom took me to the Laugh Factory in L.A. for Thanksgiving.
Because you were born and raised in L.A.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. He was broke as fuck, so we didn't have anything for Thanksgiving. The Laugh Factory was giving away free food. And then she was like, you like comedy? You're starting to, like, look at, you know, research this as a kid now. So we go there, and then I see, like, a bunch of famous comics giving back food and shit. And, like, I can't remember many names, but I did see Paul Mooney. And he was sitting down, chilling by himself, Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, walk up to him, and I'm like, some crazy 15-year-old kid, probably 14, doesn't know anything about anything. And I start just rambling in front of Paul Mooney, like, I don't know really what stand-up is. Can I, like, ask you questions? Can I pick your brain? I've got, like, my phone. I can put down notes and shit like that.
You're just rambling in front of Paul Mooney?
I didn't know what
Mooney?
The fuck to say.
Oh,
and then he just kind of stared at me and, like, looked through me and didn't say shit to me.
What?
And then this lady was like, it's sorry, baby. Like, he's just having a day. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I, like, walked away.
Oh, shit. Did that fuck you up? Because...
It got, kind of fucked me up. But then I realized, dude probably was having a bad day. Like, you know, like, people... He probably gets so many fucking people walking up to him.
Right. And then you, as a child, come up.
Show up, talking to him at a fucking comedy club. He's probably been in 1,000 times.
So, are you kind of happy that Paul Mooney is dead now?
You know, when he died, I thought about that. I was like, I met him and he didn't say shit to me. But then I was like, but he was probably having a bad day.
As a comic now, you kind of can understand that, though, right?
I can understand that for sure. But then, see, and this is stuff that I don't know, and now that we're talking, maybe you can educate me on. I'm hearing shit about Paul and, like, accusations.
Of him being gay and wanting to take people's butt?
Well, I knew the gay part as far as, like, taking advantage of a people's part.
Yeah.
And it was like, what, bro? Like...
So what you say you heard?
Like, the Richard Pryor son thing?
Mm-hmm.
The Richard Pryor son thing?
Yeah.
Like,
Richard Pryor's son
was apparently, like, and I don't know, so if I'm wrong, let me know, like, was raped. And I was like, dude, like.
By Paul Mooney?
Yeah, but that's what I heard.
Oh.
You know?
No, I've never heard that.
Why not?
I haven't heard that, though.
Then again, we just talk, so, you know, you never know.
Oh, hold on. Let's just stay right here.
I do not wish that he was dead, though.
Oh, okay. That is hilarious. I've never heard that. Not accusations of rape or anything, especially with Richard Pryor's son. But I have heard that, you know, him and Richard used to do stuff, and, you know,
that too. Yeah.
Yeah, they used to fuck around, or he, you know, Richard would probably make him do some shit to him, like suck him off or some shit like that. But that's that's good old Richard Pryor though. He don't give no fucks at all. He's roasted and said some shit before. So
about him,
about Paul Mooney. Yeah, but you know,
And just being with dudes in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, you kind of can figure that when you see Paul Mooney, but
he's very open about it.
It's just like, oh well. But that's very interesting. I'm glad that it didn't deter you from wanting to be a comic after that.
Dane Cook saw me in that, and then like.
He saw you.
Yeah, Dane Cook was like giving away mashed potatoes online, and then like saw that interaction.
Oh.
And then, like, pulled me to the side and was just like, "Hey, let's go," and gave me like a little couple of minute talk.
Get the fuck out of here!
And this is like 2003-ish, 4-ish, 2-ish, like in that time span.
Dane Cook's the whole reason that I do comedy.
Yeah, dude.
So just
I never
like
met
he
him
was
again after that.
He was that. I seen him on stage at the Comedy Store. He was that era. That, you know, when MySpace came around and he started doing all that shit, I was one of the kids that he...
For all the shit that really, people tried to give Dane Cook now, like, that motherfucker did rip Madison Square Garden. He,
yeah,
like, ripped...
You can't deny that he's not fucking funny.
No,
I mean,
he's funny.
Sure, he might have a joke similar to Louis C.K.,
yeah.
Well, but I think I like his joke better.
Like, Dane Cook's a funny dude.
Yeah, like, that's the kind of reason, that's one of the reasons why I do jokes like I do. Very descriptive.
Very animated.
Very animated, of that. And it's like, oh, bitch, you sold me. But before Dane Cook, I mean, I just saw people on TV and was like, oh, that motherfucker's a comic. Mm-hmm. Oh, he does comedy? Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Like, the world is just ran by comics? Is that what's going on? It fucking baffled me. I was like, but... Being a comic now, it's like, oh, because normal motherfuckers can't really like keep an audience or be, especially if it's gonna be a sitcom, it's not gonna be just like writers, but I always assume that it's some type of comic or some type of comedian that's gonna be behind some type of really good sitcom, like
Martin Seinfeld. Everybody Loves Raymond, shit like that.
Bernie Mac
show. Yeah. Fucking My Wife and Kids.
My Wife and Kids. All King of Queens.
Yeah. The D.L. Hughley show.
Oh, Blackish, right?
Blackish. Well, he is not a comic, I don't believe, though.
He's just a comedic actor.
You talking about Kenyon Barris?
Yes.
Kenyon Barris is the writer, so I think he's a writer. Anthony Anderson. I don't know if Anthony Anderson does comedy either.
I think he started... and did it, but I don't think, I don't know, he seems more like an actor.
Yeah, he seems like more of a comedic actor.
Mm-hmm. But still, I know what you mean now.
The Steve Harvey Show.
Steve Harvey Show, yeah.
So it opened my eyes, being a cop. I'm like, oh, I get to get my hands in everything. I like that.
Because I don't, it's so wild, man. Like, being on film sets and working and seeing, like, one time I took an actor from NCIS. He was the geeky science dude in all the cop shows. They have, like, that one guy that's good with computers. I took him to 12 Mile Limit on a Monday to an open mic. Because, like, he heard that I did stand-up, so he came through. And then he's... But at the open mic, like, a few comics know him, but the comics that know him are all improv comics, actors, too.
Yeah.
So they...
Fucking improv.
Like, right. So they're in improv, and he does improv out in the city, so they're like, oh. So then he... It was kind of humbling to see dude be like, when Laura Sanders...
She was hosting?
Yeah, she was hosting, and she is the host of, one of the hosts of the open mic. She said 3 minutes, and he looks at me and he's just like, "There's no fucking way I can do 3 minutes."
3 minutes? Oh, he couldn't. He was like, "Is that too much?"
Yeah, and it's just like, it's hilarious because it's like, by the way, he's a great guy. He's an awesome dude. He's a dope actor. I think he's one of the best actors on the show. But like, he's looking at that and he's like, "I don't know if I can fucking do that." He's like, "I didn't know y'all get 3 minutes. I thought."
What did he expect though? Like a minute or something like that?
I guess like 60 seconds or, but the 3 minute part was like, he did it to like the, at first he was bombing, of course, cause this is like really his second time, maybe his third time.
Yeah.
And then not here in the city, like it's his first time in the city, but in general it's maybe like his second or third time in life. So he does 3 minutes, first minute and some change, he bombs. And then he picks everybody up with a He-Man joke. No, not a He-Man joke. Not a He-Man joke. It was a 1980s. Fuck, I can't think of it. Thundercats.
Uh-huh.
Thundercats joke.
Uh-huh.
With the lion guy.
Yeah,
lion
Lino.
Yeah, so because he was raised in the 80s, so he went right back to some 80s shit. And they just so had
him. Because he's a nerd. He's a nerd for real?
Yeah, like he's a nerd.
Oh, dad, that'll work.
So, like, between the ages of like 30 and 40 something. That whole audience.
Yeah,
was like,
that's me.
So
that's me right there.
Like, ah, he's talking about Ghostbusters. Niggas is like, ah.
Man, I got a goddamn Thundercats joke. That's awesome.
So it was like, but they can't. But it let me know. It was like, damn, you act on TV, you get paid thousands of dollars. When it came down to doing some local comedy shit.
Oh no. Oh no. This, and then I got to come up with it myself. Now, see, people can easily recite something that somebody gave them, or they can go repeat something that somebody's already done. But doing the shit yourself?
And reading the room, checking out the audience, like really
knowing
what's
said. Oh, there's a whole goddamn, there's a whole mathematical scheme behind what we're doing up there.
It's like,
everybody
in here is 50.
We definitely have to, we definitely have to be Sherlock Holmes in this motherfucker.
Like,
that guy's got a watch, that guy's got a Rolex, that guy's got some nice shoes.
Right.
We got money in this room. All right, let's get it. Let's get it. Yeah. You definitely got to learn how to read a room, nigga. See who's what, see what jokes you should tell.
You got to read people.
And yeah.
You storytelling.
Testing the energy.
And they can't do that shit. They look at that shit. They're like, we want to do that. But, you know.
Yeah, people, they're not here for you. You gotta get them on your side. And if you ain't going to get them on your side, you're just going to be up there talking into the ether. Mm-hmm. And,
The dude from Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
Remember when were you here when he came down to town?
No.
So the main actor from Close Encounters of the Third Kind, he's been in like that in another Steven Spielberg movie. Forgot his name. But this guy's like 70 something. He came out here to do a movie with like Robert De Niro, I think.
Mm.
It was about two stand-ups coming back in the 60s, 70s. So they start going to open mics.
Oh, I seen that. I've seen the trailer for that movie.
It's filmed out here.
Oh, yeah. So that's why I wanted to watch it.
Writer and director, the director specifically, and I heard about this movie in town, was like, you can act all day long, but you'll never be a stand-up comedian.
Never be a stand-up.
You gotta go to the fucking open mics and the shows out here. He went to Siberia, and he went to Hi-Ho, and he went to a few others.
Oh, when he really put him in the shit.
And but when he went,
Tropic Thunder,
a lot of us was like losing our shit. Like, dude, what? And he's just like, "Is it cool if I still sign up?" We're like,
Like, is it cool?
Duncan. Get Duncan and put him on the list.
Yeah.
His wife is just like, you guys having a good night? We're like, yeah, why is this dude here again? She's like, this big movie star. She was like, he has to learn how to bomb.
He has to learn how to bomb.
He has to learn, he has to bomb. He has to fail. Is what the
director. He needs to feel what it's like to bomb.
Right. Because you can't act that.
Yeah. There's no learning to do this. Man, you're automatically going to do it because you're going to go up there and you're going to be shitty. But you need to feel, you need to get that feeling, because ain't nothing like that. Have you seen the Steve Byrne movie? Damn it. The one where it's about stand-up and it got Jimmy Yang. Mm-mm. Jimmy Yang is in, Cedric the Entertainer is in it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Stand-ups or something like that, or open micers. I don't know, but it is.
Is it Amazon or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking good. Like, to say it's a movie like that, and to say, like, the anxiety of actually doing comedy and being that comic, a motherfucker that gets that chance, that opportunity, it's like, oh, I get the call. He's like, hey, man, dude just backed out.
Dude,
you can feel
you.
Him? You can feel him in the spot?
It's you, bro.
Yeah, hey, yeah, come on through.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and nigga's yeah. Like, what? Nigga's like, yeah, man, it's the last chance, nigga. Motherfucker quit his job and shit. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Like, you gotta, like, it is interesting when you see comics and they have to, like, they are the ones put in charge of a lot of TV shows. They are the ones who are asked mm-hmm. to write specific parts of a script.
That's the ones with the imagination. Seems like everybody else doesn't want to use it.
They're the ones on Late Night. Late Night is run by stand-up comedians. Like, every person on Late Night, well, maybe, that's arguable. But I bet they all, like, did stand-up a lot. And then that, you know, like, all the people that we see in Late Night.
Yeah. Especially, I think before it was more like improv people, like your Will Ferrells and
the guys doing SNL, and they were like doing
SNL characters,
weekend update type stuff and things like that. Like those guys ended up getting late night.
The growling graduates. Growling. I see clips of SNL now. Just because I have a friend that's on SNL. But, yeah, Punky. Yeah, I see clips of it now. But I haven't sat down and just watched the whole set. I used to watch it when I was young, but I used to watch wrestling when I was young. I don't even watch clips of wrestling now.
Hey,
I can't do it at all. But
unpopular opinion, but I feel like SNL ain't that bad.
Uh-huh.
I just feel like that everything, they have a lot to compete with, and the world is so polarized.
Yeah.
Not the world, but the entertainment. It's like, man, you can go on YouTube. Like, I don't know if you guys know this segment that I'm about to bring up, but it's a group of, like, young black men, early 20s, and they impersonate NBA players. They did, like, one with LeBron. They do have a whole bunch of those. Like, it's a group of these young men. And it's millions upon millions. Like, ESPN fans watch these cats. ESPN has mentioned them, has referenced them.
So it's like the cats that do the anime shit.
But I think they do the anime too, yeah.
The ones that actually do...
They pretend to do anime, but they mainly do, like, sports jokes.
Oh, like these ones, they just do anime.
But it's like, you got a group of kids out there in the world right now who are doing some hilarious shit.
Yeah.
With their phones.
Yeah.
With their cameras.
That's the Jordans at home that you don't see.
Yeah,
and now we get to be seen now.
It's like, now SNL is like, oh... We gotta wait a week. These motherfuckers did it in 6 hours.
With the minimal.
And they cut it and got it
with the minimal
and everything by that night.
That's the team right there. And, I mean, but shit, that's just like South Park though. And South Park's still running and still banging. Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, South Park's still going.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
They are banging it out. Like you can't. Like that, with a fresh mind that is not scared to just go against whatever they're saying. Fuck yeah, keep it coming. I love
it. They are like legends, so like they going off of. Like,
they've been running for a while. You good?
My friend Brittany, sir.
Okay.
Let me give her a little ring. I really don't think there's anything. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I was just saying. Okay. Well, before cuz, we about to start a show. Show's about to come up. And we can make it a short and sweet one today. Don't have to be long. I just got to get them in. You know, that's it. Just get them in. Everybody needs to hear a little something from somebody. from everybody. I want to talk to all of y'all out here, like just all of the comics that I came up with and that I seen and started. How long you been doing comedy for now?
4 years. Seriously. I've been doing it for like 10 years, but I've been doing it for like 4 years, seriously. Uh-huh. Like, okay. 10 years, it was like on and off, and I was like, I'm not committed to this because I'm still in school, and I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do.
Mm.
And then I settled on it when I moved here.
All right. Yeah, you were one of the people that actually stood out. You, John Reynolds, fucking AJ Bell. A lot of y'all stand the fuck out when I first seen y'all come on the scene. It was like, oh, shit, these new faces. I don't know where they're coming from. But I like it. I like what's happening.
I'm about to actually like quit film and just do Uber and Lyft for a little bit. And then focus on that.
Okay.
Up. Yeah.
As long as you can get back in the film whenever you need to.
Whenever I need to. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I'm still getting my resume and shit.
That seemed like that was a good. That was pretty awesome. Like,
yeah.
You're like right there connected with the big wigs and shit.
It's like I'm always right there, and then something pulls me back.
And I wanna ask you before we dip out. Mm. There's so much love in this neighborhood. Lots of gay love, but love nonetheless. Love nonetheless, and I like it. Okay. I like it. It's still good energy. But before...
That was rough right there.
You could get robbed right here, anywhere around the corner. Like, it's outside, yeah.
It doesn't take much.
Doesn't take much. What Joker would you say best embodies you or your personality?
That's a wild question because I think they all do. What joke best describes me?
Joker.
Which what?
Joker.
Which Joker?
Joker.
The villain?
Yeah.
Which one best describes me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a wild question. Damn. Well, I think they all describe me. Let me see. The one that best describes me is like, I bet everyone says Heath Ledger and Scott Avery.
Ah, no, they don't.
They don't?
No. No one goes with the Jared Leto, though. Have I had somebody say Jared Leto? I don't know.
Oh, man.
I think I might have at once.
I'm going to go with Heath Ledger because he tells Batman, he's just like, yeah, like when the chips are down, they're all going to like turn on you. And then he's just like, you're just like me. And it's just like, for a moment in Batman's eyes, he's like, Batman was listening. And then he flipped Joker upside down and beat the fuck out of him. Like, you almost had to believe that shit. I hate you.
You almost had me, you motherfucker.
Does this nigga get me?
Oh, fuck. I like that. That's a good description.
And it's like, man, I feel like that one is just like, yeah, man, like, we have him. Like, we have
okay.
Yeah,
okay, I like it. I feel like the HBO Batman. I feel like the HBO Joker from Harley Quinn. Yeah, exactly. I feel real giddy right now. And just like... not disrespectful, but I do feel like I could disrespect something, you know. And he was disrespectful to Harley Quinn, especially in that show. And I was like, man. So I feel like that guy. I feel like that Joker. I need to find out who that is.
He found out who Batman was, and he was like, wait a minute, Bruce Wayne? Thinking about a car for doing that shit. Yo, like you said, that you was gonna have someone come fix the brake check. What's wrong with my brakes? I want my $1,500 back. I was dead. I was like, I don't even care that you Batman.
That's a good show. That is a good show, sir. Man, it's so good. All right. Last question. This is a fun one. It's a series of questions. You got B1, raise one, sell one, and fuck one. All right.
B1, raise one, sell one, and fuck one.
Yeah. And your options are: you got a mermaid, a mogwai, a Mexican, and a manatee. All right. You got to be one of them. You got to raise one of them. You got to sell one of them, and then you got to fuck one of them.
A mermaid, a manatee, what else?
A Mexican and a mogwai.
What's a mogwai?
Mogwai is Gizmo from Gremlins.
Oh shit. Okay. Kill Gizmo off the rip.
No, we're not killing anything. You gotta fuck one of them. You gotta be one of them. You gotta raise one of them. You gotta sell one of them. You gotta fuck one of them.
All right.
Oh.
Sell Gizmo.
Selling them. Okay.
Get Gizmo
there it
out
is.
Of the vicinity.
Yeah, yeah, all right.
Sell it to the Mexicans.
You can probably sell it on the black market. I'm pretty sure like, you can have Mexicans
like
buying
farms in America.
Buying,
shut
buying,
up with
buying gremlins.
With employees, gremlin employees, 1,000% owned by Mexicans who bought the farm.
That's a fun way of looking at that. Never looked at that like that before.
So sell it.
All right, you got to be one, you raise one, and all sell right. one.
I would raise the mermaid.
You'd raise a mermaid.
Raise
all right.
The mermaid.
Got you.
But that, no, stop. Because that's
nope.
fucked up. You don't want to raise a mermaid. Nigga.
You don't
want to
raise a mermaid? Why not?
She got a friend. She got a friend.
I mean, you could have like the shape of water. Type
no.
of mermaid.
She might try to eat a nigga. I gotta kill her off.
A mermaid, though. You know, or a fish man. You know, just any type of gilled amphibian
yeah,
being.
That won't end. That won't end okay. That won't fuck my ass dead.
Yeah, the chick fucked it at the end of The Shape of Water.
Killing that nigga. You have every comic in the community eating
That'd
at my
some.
House. Like, Mike, this salmon is great. I'm like,
what happened? Well, that's that fish that fucked my old lady. It's like, oh. Brought it in the house? I brought it in the house.
I'm killing the mermaid. That's because they. We don't know. I believe in
there's no killing. He's killing everything. That's why I didn't put it in there.
Whoa.
You either sell it or you fuck it. It's either one. You gotta be one and you gotta raise one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, so you gonna raise the mermaid? What
I
you
would,
doing?
I would be one.
You beat a mermaid.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not talking about like a fin man. I'm talking about a hellboy.
yeah, that's cool. Christian, yeah,
dude.
That's how the Shape of Water guy was.
Yeah,
boo-boo. That your bubbles, my nigga? You got some deep ass bubbles. He said boo-boo-boo. That sounds like one of the bubbles that Sonic runs into. All right. So you're gonna be a mermaid. All right. Now you gotta raise one and you gotta sell one. You gotta raise one and you gotta fuck one. You got a Mexican and you got a manatee.
Nah.
What's your options? All
right.
What'd you say?
It's a Mexican, so you be Mexican chick. Mm-hmm. Bad as fuck her.
Okay. There you go. And you're gonna
raise a manatee.
Yeah, all right. You're going to raise a manatee. That's fine.
Yeah.
No,
and then when the apocalypse happens.
It's got to be a manatee. You got to get a tag on it and everything. You got to make sure you can only have it in Everglades, too. It's
got to
be.
As long as at the end of it, I can
you send it 25 cents like an Ethiopian child. Just you can send 25 cents to a manatee of your choice. That's what you do on a monthly basis, 25 cents. To this manatee that you picked. You don't get to see it or nothing. They send you pictures of it underwater. It's the manatee you raising.
That's fine. So I'm out like, what, 20, 30 G's every month?
Out of 25 cents a month? I don't think it works that way. But if you want to give that much for a manatee you ain't never seen, sure.
Oh, man.
You a good daddy. All right. Ah, oh, that's good. Oh, there's a cat right there, right there. Oh, it's so close. You are the cat whisperer. It's coming because of you.
I know
it's coming because of you.
Creep out.
Yeah.
This is
all the time.
Cats always follow
you. Fuck yeah, man. She, any type of cat.
I'm talking about coming to me, okay?
This cat's like, look at my asshole and where my balls should be. And you got two assholes.
It's a boy. Look
at is that me. What that means?
See, I shouldn't even pay no attention. That's my problem.
Boys have two assholes.
They usually have balls. They usually
not
have balls.
Boys have two assholes that are cats.
I've seen
I
two
don't
assholes.
Think so.
I've seen the cat's balls before. It was on the outside, and I was like,
I
didn't know.
Talked about this.
I had no idea.
Maybe
that was wild.
Talk about cat balls.
Very wild to see. Oh.
I didn't know show on the cat balls.
Cat balls.
Alone in the world is little cat balls.
Cat balls are wild. Cat balls is good.
Yeah.
Motherfucking cat ball. All right, dude. This has been great, man. Hey, Mike. This has been Tell Me a Joke. The guy I'm chasing a dream. I've been your host, Monaco Venice, and this has been Michael Hall. Where tell them where they can find you at, Mike.
You can find me on a film set out there in the world, or you'll see me usually at High Ho Lounge. That's about it. You might find me
a website or something. I mean, or Instagram, Mike, Facebook.
Mike Ha. So Mike H-A Ha _ comedy. Okay. That's my Instagram. And man, hit me up. Sorry, I'm high right now. I'm not sick. I just smoked a lot of weed.
He just smokes a lot of weed and got a sty. It's not pink eye.
I'm not turning into a zombie. Oh, is it the police? No. All right, yeah. Michael Hall on Facebook. That's about it. Yeah.
All
I'm not really out there in the grid.
That's fine.
It's a choice.
I'm trying to escape from the grid, but still use the grid to my advantages as well. So, you know, I'm very hypocritical about what I'm doing.
I want to do a sketch where, like, speaking of getting off the grid, I want to do a sketch one day where, and tell me if this has been done. Mm-hmm. Like, you have somebody like Morpheus who has, like, he opens up his jacket and it's like a whole bunch of different types of pills. And then he's just like, yo, I can give you, like, the red pill. You can take it to the real world. Go to the green pill.
I don't know. I don't think we've had that happen. That is good.
He's like, what does the white pill do? Yo, don't take the white pill.
Don't take the white pill. I have that there just in case.
My nigga over here still thinks it's chosen.
White pill is for emergency.
Every week it's still coming.
That's fucking funny, man. That's really funny. Patent pending. Michael Hall. So, yeah, that'll work too. All right, man. Thanks for fucking... This worked. Because, good job. We got 35 minutes down. And I'll just fill it with fucking whatever I feel like.
After that.
Might put the setup that I do out here. I probably won't do that at all. But all right, you guys.